So he is omnipresent. He's everywhere, the Holy Spirit. This references clearly to God's Holy Spirit. He's said to be omnipresent. And he is said to be especially present or resident with the church since the day of Pentecost when he gave birth to the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Here's an incredible passage for us to glean concerning the Holy Spirit's presence. Ephesians chapter, how I love the book of Ephesians. Oh, the wealth of the believer. You know what? We're filthy rich, guys and gals. We are absolutely rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 18. In verse 18 we read, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." It takes the Holy Spirit to get to the Father through his Son. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple." We used this verse this morning, speaking of the temple of the Lord, "which temple ye are. An holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that makes us members of the body. Glory to God. I am so glad that he is omnipresent. Fourthly, another attribute of the Holy Spirit is that of omniscience. 1 Corinthians. Oh, here's some good stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 shows us how much the Holy Spirit knows. And I like it because he knows everything that I need to know. And that's all I need to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look with me in verse number 10. An incredible passage concerning God's Spirit. He says, look back at verse 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." He's saying the world does not understand that you are rich, eternally so, because of Jesus Christ. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Here, Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit knows everything there is to know about God, because he is indeed God. We're clearly told that the Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows everything. That gives me great peace because I don't have to know everything. He has all the answers. Now, and it tells us that he will impart divine knowledge to those who seek it. This is important because God's Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You've heard preachers say this, and he really is. He's a gentle spirit. He does not force himself upon any. There has to be a sincere desire. We spoke of blind Bartimaeus had that sincere desire to know Jesus, and he saw his heart. And the Holy Spirit sees when we really want to know. Me and my sister Ellie, for 26 years now, since I got saved in 86, we've talked so much about, we've always sought the deeper knowledge, you know. We've always wanted to know more and more and more about the Word and the Holy Spirit and how things operate. And that's a desire. That's a desire that the Holy Spirit puts in us to know more. And he's omniscient. He knows everything. He wants to give us more knowledge. Fifthly, his attribute of love. Oh, turn ahead a few pages. You'll be in Galatians, just after 2 Corinthians. And go to chapter number 5. Chapter number 5 of Galatians. Look at this. We have the list of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Look at verse 22. Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is..." What's that first word?
Love.
Wow. Luke is not needing to see it. He knows. He knows that the very first fruit of the Holy Spirit is capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E. Love. God is what? Love. This is God's supreme attribute. And we're told here, notice that the very first fruit of the Spirit that He's going to produce in you and me is love. That's because this is His supreme attribute. And everything that God is eternally hinges upon this divine love. I am so glad that I can say G-I-G-A-T-T. God is good all the time because God is love. God will never hurt us. God will always do what is best for us. And I love this attribute above all others about Jesus, that He is love. He's a loving God. He so loved the world that He gave His most precious Son. The best thing He could give, He gave to demonstrate that incredible love. Yes, love eternally hinges. This attribute hinges. All of His attributes hinge upon this first one. Sixthly, there is His attribute of faithfulness. Again, in Galatians 5, look at the same verse, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, faith. Now, though the Holy Spirit produces faith in the sincere seeker of truth, that is not what this fruit of the Spirit is talking about. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the producer of faith in us, but it's not talking about faith. The Greek word implies faithfulness. He makes you faithful. You know why you're in God's house tonight? Because He's making you faithful. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. The Word of God produces more faith in us. Faith in the things of God. We believe more as we get into the Word. But being faithful as a Christian, this is a fruit of the Spirit. And this is what this fruit is speaking of. The Greek word is for faithfulness. Now, God is faithful to us, right? And He makes us faithful to Him. I love that. Because I'm an unfaithful slob without God. I'll tell you right here and now. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be pastoring. I wouldn't be doing anything for God if it wasn't for Him. It's all His glory. Now, this is a direct fruit of the Holy Spirit created in the life of the believer. He makes us faithful to our Heavenly Father in our daily lives. And listen, anytime we are unfaithful to His will, He takes away our peace and comfort so that we'll become more faithful. God is not punishing us when we sin. And I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have treated that person that way. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit taking away your peace in order to get you to repent and come clean with God, and so that we'll become more faithful. We won't make that mistake again, because remember how we felt, right? That's the Holy Spirit creating more faithfulness in us, and He's good at it. Seventhly, another attribute of the Holy Spirit is that of truthfulness. Ah, how this world needs truthfulness. Look with me in 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John, just after 2 Peter, 1 John chapter 5, look with me at verse number 6. 1 John 5 and verse 6 says that this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. He had a human body. And it is the Spirit, watch it, the capital S Spirit, that beareth witness. He testifies to the truth of Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit is what? Truth. He didn't say the Spirit contains truth. He said the Holy Spirit is truth. So if you want truth, you've got to get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truth, and He's the revealer of truth. And He witnesses to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God. Now, I love this. This attribute of the Holy Spirit is extremely precious to the child of God, because He will never lead us in a false path. Amen? Jesus spoke of this attribute of the Holy Spirit in John 15. Go with me to John chapter 15. This is a glorious promise of the Holy Spirit. John 15, look at verse 26. Jesus says, and Jesus never lies, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Jesus says the Comforter, capital C, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. I'm so glad that He's the Spirit of truth. Go to chapter 16. Chapter 16, look at verse 13. Jesus says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Jesus makes a promise right there in verse 13 that My Holy Spirit is going to lead you in all truth. Oh, I love that. You, child of God, cannot be deceived as long as you follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Because He will not lead you in a false way. Glory to God. 1 John, back to 1 John, and go to chapter 4 this time. 1 John, chapter 4. Look with me at verse 4. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a way that you can decipher if a person is a true Christian or just plain game, just religious. It's by if he will hear the truth of God. He is of God. This is the spirit of truth. And the spirit of error rejects the truth of God. You see? That's the difference. Now, go with me to chapter 2 of 1 John. Chapter 2. Look at verse 27. Powerful verse here. But the anointing which ye have received of Him, that's the Holy Spirit, abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, I love that, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Wow. The Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that abides in you, is truth. You have the truth. Glory to God for the truth. It's a great attribute of the Holy Spirit. Another attribute of the Holy Spirit, that of holiness. That of holiness. Amen? He's called more than any other title in the Bible, the Holy Spirit. Because He's the Holy Spirit. This very title testifies to His eternal purity and sanctity. Now, as we progress in our study of pneumatology, we will see clearly that it is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that copes directly with the residing sin nature of the believer, and that He is the only existing power by which that nature can be controlled. Did you hear what I just said? As we progress in our studies, this is critically important to understand. We are going to see that this Holy Spirit that we are learning all about, He is the only existing power in the universe that can control our sin nature and cause us to walk in righteous paths. We have to understand that because so many Christians today, guys and gals, are trying to live the Christian life in their own strength and they fail miserably. Why? Somebody tell me. Why? Why do they fail? You said it. Because the flesh, that's right. Because the flesh, we don't have the power to live the Christian life.
But the Holy Spirit that says walk in spirit, you will not.
Amen.
I mean, what I'm trying to say is that like God does give people a mindset to choose to do right or wrong, you know what I mean?
Yes. The Holy Spirit in you has the ability to live through you the life that you can't live. This is, you know how it's done? I want to jump ahead about 3 months in our studies right here, right now, with one statement. How's it done? Pastor, how is it done? How does the Holy Spirit live through me the life that I cannot live? By faith. Did you hear me? It's by faith. The same way that you got saved by putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, it's the same way that you will live a victorious Christian life. By faith in what? What are we saying about? Yes, Ellie? By faith in the Holy Spirit's ability and power to do through me what I cannot do, the victory is won. And we're going to see, we're going to hone in on this. We're going to make it so clear that it's by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to control what I can't control. Ooh, I like that. And He can. And He will. Once we come to the understanding of his role in our daily life. Most Christians, I'm afraid, go their whole lives on earth, never coming to a realization of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through them. Isn't that sad? But every Christian has the ability to find these truths out and start living that way. That is the beautiful part. This is available. This isn't just available to Primitive Brethren Assembly. This is available to every child of God who seeks it sincerely. Now, remember, the angelic beings ascribe to all three of the blessed Godhead their adoration, holy, holy, holy. They're saying, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, glory to God. His divine works. Okay, we're going to just get two of these and we'll be done for the night because we're running out of time. But let's start on his divine works. First, his divine work of creation. Go with me to Psalms 104. The Holy Spirit in his divine work of creation. Oh, when we get through seeing what the Holy Spirit has done and what he's able to do, when we get to the part about what he does going to do for you and me, it's going to blow you away, I promise. Psalm 104, look with me at verse 30. Psalm 104, verse 30. This is speaking of creation of the universe, the heavens and the earth. And he says this, Thou sendest forth thy what? Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. David says, Lord, thou sendest forth thy Spirit. They are what? Created. Created. Notice who created. The Holy Spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. I love this fact. Listen carefully now. The Holy Spirit is the divine agent which instills life to all of creation. See what I wrote there? The Holy Spirit is the divine agent which instills life to all of creation. Do you know what we had in the garden when God created Adam? Before he made Eve, before he made Noah, we had a corpse. Here's Adam. He's a full-grown man. But he's got... What's he missing, Ellie? Life. Breath. He's dead. He's not alive. He's a lump of clay. You know what happened? God breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? Life. Life. You know why I'm walking right now and you're listening? Because you have life from God. And that life generates from his Holy Spirit. That's what he says right here. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit. They are created. They have life from the Spirit of God. Go with me to Job 26. Just before Psalms, the book of Job. Oldest book in the history of the world is Job. It predates the Pentateuch. Though the Antipodes don't. But the writing of the book predates the writing of the Pentateuch by Moses. In Job chapter 26... look with me at verse 13. Here is an incredible passage here. Look at verse 12. He divided, speaking of God, he divided the sea with his power. And by his understanding, he smited through the proud. By his Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. These are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is known of him. Job says that God, by his Spirit, garnished the heavens. You know what's out there in the heavens? The galaxies, the planets, the stars, the Milky Way, all that stuff is out there. He says the Holy Spirit did that. I love it. Matthew Henry, one of my favorite commentators, wrote, his Holy Spirit in creation was the first mover. He moved upon the face of the waters. And when we consider the earth without form and void, methinks it is like the valley full of dead and dry bones. Can these live? Yes, if it is the Spirit of life from God that does the moving. Psalm 33. I love Matthew Henry. Methinks it's true. I love that. Psalm 33. Look at this. Another great text concerning the Holy Spirit in creation. Psalm 33, look at verse number 6. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. That's the Spirit of God. the Spirit of God coming out of God's mouth. And he says all the hosts of the heavens were made, look at that word, made by the breath of his mouth. The Holy Spirit made it. Glory to God. Now, Matthew Henry adds, and it is by this same Spirit that the new creation is accomplished within every true believer. Did you catch it? The Holy Spirit brought physical creation into existence, along with the Father and Son, and the Holy Spirit brings new creation into existence within every true believer. Folks, you know what? It is high time we stop allowing the Pentecosts and the Charismatics to rob us of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. This is a critical issue in the Christian life. Understanding the Holy Spirit and living by His power and not mine own. Glory to God. Secondly, another work of the divine work of the Holy Spirit is that of striving. He's a striver. Look in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6. And look with me. You know the situation here. Just prior to the flood, the Holy Spirit was in the world. And you know what he was doing? He was convicting man. He was striving with man to repent. In chapter 6, look at verse 3. And the Lord said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. He says, my Holy Spirit is right now striving with man through the preaching of Noah to what? Repent, right? And they wouldn't repent. And the Holy Spirit was pleading. The Holy Spirit was anointing Noah's preaching so that the people would feel God's presence and feel that God is real. He really wants us to do this. They wouldn't do it. He was striving. Notice here that the Holy Spirit was striving with man even prior to the worldwide deluge in the antediluvian dispensation. This striving will have an end. He will not always strive with man. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We find here that the Holy Spirit is taken away. That his striving, his pleading, his begging man to be saved and come to Jesus will come to an end one day. And folks, I believe that day is very, very soon upon us. This is why my wife and I go 3 times a week. Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you about my Jesus? Because we are right there. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians 2. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. Verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth. Something is withholding the Antichrist from coming on the scene in this world. That he, Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. He's not going to be revealed until the Lord allows him to. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, notice the masculine gender, he who now letteth, that's hinders, will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. Now, let me ask you a question. Who's getting taken out of the way very shortly from this world? We were talking about this last night with Ellie and Mike and Miriam, how the world's going to be in a real... Oh, it's going to be ugly. When we get raptured out of here, this world is going to be total chaos. Think about this. It's not just millions upon millions of people leaving the planet. It's the cream of the crop of planet Earth. God's people, you know, Christians, we're talking about the body of Christ. We are the light of society, folks. We are the light of society. And when our light leaves this planet, it's going to be a world full of darkness. But look here, when he's taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit, we know, Romans chapter 8, verse 13, I believe it is, says is going to quicken our mortal bodies. He's going to raise us up. In glorious rapture. He's going out with us, right? And then the Antichrist is revealed. So we see here that he's not going to be striving anymore. He's gone with the church. Then it's going to be ugly scene when the Antichrist, the tribulation period, we'll get into that. But Jesus described his striving work in John 16. We'll finish up here. John 16, we're right on schedule. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 16. There's another word used for his striving. by the Lord Jesus here in John chapter 16. Look with me at verse number 7. John chapter 16. And let me see if I got the right reference here. Oh, I got the right reference. I got the wrong book. John 16 and verse number 7. Glory to God. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I love that. Jesus tells the truth. Holy Spirit tells the truth. Father tells the truth. It is expedient, profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world. Notice that word, reprove. The Greek word indicates convince. To reprove is to convince somebody. Now, I love that because there was a day in my life, October 3rd, 1986, when that Holy Spirit convinced old Bob Oliver that he was on his way to hell. He convinced me. He reproved me, and he convinced me that I was lost and I needed to be saved. And glory to God, I got saved quick when I finally realized I was lost. But look what he does. When he has come, he will reprove or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit's going to show folks that they're sinners, that they need the righteousness of God by imputation, and that the devil has been judged by the Son of God. He's a defeated foe, and you can have victory over him. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is his striving of this dispensation. He's still striving. Aren't you glad? He's still convincing. He's still working. He's still speaking to hearts of lost men and women, boys and girls, but he won't always be. There's a day coming, very shortly, I believe, when his convicting men of sin will be done. And then it's judgment time for planet Earth. I don't wish it upon my worst enemy, and that's the devil. I don't have any enemies except the devil. But you know what, folks? We need to be busy about our Father's business. Because that day is quickly drawn to a close. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we learn more and more from your word about your glorious Holy Spirit, we just grow to love and appreciate him so much more in our daily lives. We thank you, Lord, that he's a person. He's personal. He can be grieved. He can be made sad, but he can also be made glad. Oh, Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit, to yield to the Spirit, to trust in the Holy Spirit by faith, to do in and through us what we could never do. Lord, we're so thankful for identification truths from the Bible, that indeed Romans chapter 6 proves that we are dead indeed unto sin, but we are alive indeed unto God. We love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word and for your truth and for your presence in our lives. Where would we be without you, sweet heavenly dove? We sang about you tonight. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Oh, yes, you are, Lord. And we thank you that you are here. All dwelling in our midst, blessing us, teaching us, nurturing us, Lord, as we worship you and we seek your truth and as we walk with you. We thank you for the church. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us each and every day. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord. We pray for your imminent return to come even tonight. Lord, that all of the prophecies of your word shall be fulfilled, as you have said. We thank you for it all in Jesus' precious name. And the people said, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Anyone want to add a prayer request to that list?
Oh, yeah, prayer request, guys. Our secretary, Ellie, has... okay, it's on the bulletin board, the prayer request list. And feel free to add to it, because on Sunday nights, Ellie takes that list home with her, and she's going to type up for us all of the prayer requests. So next time we come to church, there'll be a pile of the ones she types up, copies made, that we can take them home and pray for every need. Prayer works. Amen? That's why we're doing that, because prayer works. Glory to God. Love y'all.
Lucas, have a good one, brother. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, I forgot Sunday starts 6:30, not
6:30. Yeah. don't feel bad. Many do. Don't feel bad.
Do you want me to take that list tonight, or do you want me to wait till Thursday night?
I think we could take it tonight, and that way we can start on that, having copies made up.
Okay.
That's going to help a lot, Al.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
This is an older copy of our
Nice.
Our handout in the service.
Yes. Oh, thank you, because we need to start doing that ourselves.
When people come in, we give them an offering envelope, a sign-up card, that program. And they can fill it out if they want to.
I love it.
And we usually put a share by a sign of a little offering